Good morning, brothers and sisters. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Matthew chapter 8. If you're using one of the chair Bibles this morning, that's page 1119. It's a familiar passage to many of us as we read about these early days of Jesus' Galilean ministry and how he had gone about teaching and healing and doing miracles, and crowds were following him. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, it reads, "And when Jesus, when he had gotten into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even winds and see, obey him?'" This morning, I just want us to spend a few minutes briefly reading through God's Word and magnifying our God this morning, praising Him, because in times of great trouble, we have an abiding hope in Jesus Christ. So what do I mean by times of trouble? You can see it here in the photo, in this photograph of a painting by Rembrandt of the men, the disciples with Jesus, as the seas are going all around them, a time of great peril where their lives are in danger. And so it's easy to see what trouble looks like in this painting and to imagine yourself on that boat. But there are lots of types of trouble in our lives. There are many types of trouble that we will experience in our life. Trouble is a word that appears throughout the Hebrew Old Testament. The Hebrew word tsara is translated a lot of different ways. It's mainly translated in terms of trouble or distress or affliction. It's sometimes translated adversity or anguish or tribulation. And at its root, the word really conveys the idea of narrowness or tightness or pressure, right? And so the idea of being hard-pressed or hemmed in. We have an English idiom that we use that says that you're between a rock and a hard place, right? You're in a situation that's causing you pressure, that's causing you distress and anguish. Because you're in a situation where you feel you can't get out of it. You feel powerless to hold up under the weight of whatever it is that's troubling you. And like I said, the trouble can come in many ways. We have troubles in this world of sinful and harmful acts from other people. We have trouble in the world from famine and war and disease. We have trouble in our own lives of emotional heartache or loneliness or despair, disappointment, and how things are going in our lives. We have trouble in this world through natural disasters and time and chance and terrible things happening to people. We have trouble from just the inevitable march of time as our bodies break down and decay and we reach the end of our lives. We have trouble sometimes from the consequences of our own sin, of our own choices that were unrighteous, that lead to consequences in our lives. So what do we do when we face troubles like this? It stood out to me in this week's readings in the prophet Isaiah that the people of Israel were facing a great time of trouble. They refer to it that way. The prophet Isaiah refers to it that way. Hezekiah refers to it that way. In our readings this week, we saw in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah is saying, "I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, he says in verse 17. And in verse 22, he says, and they will look to the earth, but behold, distress, trouble, that's that Hebrew word trouble, and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. In our readings in chapter 33 this week, we have a similar discussion of the what's going to happen to the people of Israel as the Assyrians come in judgment against them. It says in chapter 33, verse 2, O Lord, be gracious to us, we wait for you. Be our arm every morning, our salvation in time of trouble. Isaiah chapter 37, we see this Hezekiah receiving the word of the attacks of Sennacherib. And as soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and he went to the house of the Lord. And verse 3 says that he said, this day is a day of trouble, of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there's no strength to bring them forth. And so we see in here that the people of Israel were facing a great trouble brought upon them by judgment from God Himself. The people of Israel were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. They were supposed to live sanctified lives that glorify God. And instead, they had chosen sin. They had chosen idolatry. They had chosen to pursue sinful pleasure and to mistreat their brethren. And God is judging them for it by sending the Assyrians to cause this great trouble to Israel and to carry them away into captivity. And yet, even as God is bringing trouble upon Israel and visiting them with trouble, He sends through the prophet Isaiah a message of hope, of abiding hope in times of trouble. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 32, that's going to be our main text for this morning. Isaiah chapter 32 will be the basis of our thoughts this morning. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 through 18. This passage begins with warnings of what's to come and warnings of how terrible the consequences are going to be upon the people of Israel and how the cities are going to be laid waste and the cities themselves are going to become like wilderness. And so it's a terrible judgment being brought upon the people of Israel, and yet there's a purpose in it. And it says, starting in verse 16, that after God judges the people, after God turns their cities into the wilderness, that justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. In verse 17, and the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust or security, your version might say, forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Think about that. As God is about to bring judgment from the people of Assyria and visit great trouble upon His people, what He's promising them is a time of peace and quietness and security. That's the promise that God has for His people in that time, and it's the promise that He has for us in our day, that even in days of trouble, we can trust that God is working for good in our lives and that He can, even through all the difficult circumstances we face, provide us peace and quiet and security. So what are we talking about when we say peace? Peace is, of course, a calmness that comes from being accepted in the Beloved, from knowing that God loves us, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says. And because we're at peace with God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're also at peace with other men. And we're able to live peaceably, as much as lies within us, with all men, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. So the peace that we have is about the assurance that we are loved by God and that God loves us, which transforms the way we think about the entire world and everything going on around us. And it produces within us a prayerful acceptance of God's will, even in times of trouble. So that's what we read about in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The idea that we should be anxious for nothing, no matter what's going on in our lives, we're to bring those things to God, not be anxious about them, to bring them to God. And when we do that, when we bring our troubles to God in prayer, what we receive from Him is a peace that passes understanding. And our peace is possible because it is a work of the Holy Spirit within our lives who lives within us. And this peace is possible because it's given to us by the Prince of Peace, by Jesus Himself, who declared in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." God offers us peace in time of trouble. And He offers us quiet. What do we mean by quietness? I think the idea there is tranquility. The verse that comes immediately to mind to me was from Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God." Quietness is about being still, is about recognizing who God is and not letting our hearts get stirred up, of being tranquil, of being accepting, that God is in control. And when we recognize who He is and how He is at work in our lives, we can be still, we can be quiet. We can stop fretting. We can stop being anxious and enjoy the quiet, the tranquility that comes from you, that comes from our God. And that's what we're told to do as Christians. We're told to live, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, to live quiet lives and mind your own affairs and work with our own hands. We are a blessing to our families. We're a blessing to our brothers and sisters when we are content to live quietly and mind our own affairs. You know, so much of the stirring up in my life, of the lack of quietness in my life, is for things that I'm choosing to bring into my life to stir me up, to be anxious about. I'm choosing to think about things that don't help me to have quietness. I'm choosing to be like Martha in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus says to her, "You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." Why am I so concerned about all the things that are going on in the world, things that I can't control? If I could just learn to worry about one thing, to be concerned about one thing that is necessary, pleasing God and having fellowship with Jesus, and stop being worried and troubled about many things. There was a Indian American tech mogul who was on some podcast, and they were asking him about the plight of the Uyghur Muslim minority in China, and he just flatly said, "Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line." And he sort of did a line like this, right? And he was criticized for it, but there's some truth in this, that there are certain things that need to be below our line, things that we cannot control, things that we have no ability to influence, that we should not worry about and be troubled about. I'm not saying that we're to be cold and unempathetic to people around us or to the suffering that might be going around us, but in humility, we have to recognize that not all the troubles in the world are within our control. We pray about those things and we bring them to God, but in the end, we're to be still and know that He is God. Is this something I caused? Is this something that is causing harm to me or someone else that I love? Is this something I'm uniquely positioned to do something about? Well, if it's not, then why am I worried about it? It's so easy for us to get drawn into the problems in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our state, in our national, global politics, in our workplace, in our distant family, and try and worry about all the problems that are going on around us that we don't have the ability to control. Live quietly and mind your own affairs. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11's advice to us. And so if we allow ourselves to be stirred up constantly over matters that are outside our control, then we're robbing ourselves of the quietness, of the blessed quiet life that God wants for us, a life where we can be still and know that He's the Lord. A beautiful passage, that speaks of of turning these things over to God and allowing Him to provide quietness and tranquility in our lives is in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 23. That's on page 697 if you're using the Pew Bible. Psalm 107, verse 23 through 30. And this actually sort of harkens back to our opening scripture of Jesus calming the sea. Psalm 107, verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters, and they saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. So the picture here of men who go down to the sea in ships and the things that they experience when they are at the mercy of the waves around them, and the ability that God has to calm the seas, right? This isn't just a picture for us to show God's power over nature. It's a picture for us to recognize that God can quiet the storms that are raging in our hearts, and that to wait on Him to provide the peace and the quiet that we need in our lives. Finally, God promises, even in times of trouble, that we will have security. Even as they were being carried away, the people of Israel, into Assyrian captivity, dragged from their homes, God is prophesying for them, for His faithful remnant, that they will abide in secure dwellings. Proverbs 14, verse 26 tells us, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge, a place of protection. Micah chapter 4, which we read earlier this year, speaks of this time where every man will be able to sit under his own vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's a beautiful picture of a time when we can have security, that we can have a refuge. Psalm chapter 71, we'll read this one together. Psalm chapter 71, verses 1 through 5. That's on page 666 of the Chair Bible. Psalm 71 tells us, in You, Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In Your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline Your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hands of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For You, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. God's promise is not that our earthly dwellings are never going to meet trouble. Again, He's giving this promise to Israel, even as they're about to be carried away from their homes into captivity. But the promise to the faithful remnant that they will have secure dwellings is a promise that God remains our refuge, our fortress, because we enjoy eternal security, that we enjoy eternal protection that cannot be shaken no matter what happens to us in our lives, no matter what we faced here. No one, Jesus says, no one is able to snatch you out of His hand. John 10:28. Romans 8:38 tells us that nothing can separate us from God's love. It doesn't matter. Nothing. Death nor life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, height nor depth. Nothing in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's give praise and worship to our God this morning who, even in times of trouble, promises us peace and quiet and security. So as we conclude, I want to go back to our original passage in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. We'll read it again. And when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. But Jesus was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" When you read this passage and you put yourself into the shoes of his disciples, it's surprising what Jesus says to them. Isn't their plea to Jesus a plea of faith? "Lord Jesus, save us." Isn't that a cry of faith? Doesn't that show that they were trusting in Jesus? That Jesus had the power to calm the seas? That they had power to do something to save them? "Save us, Lord. We are perishing." It seems to me that that is a cry of faith. And yet, Jesus says to them, "O ye of little faith, why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Isn't that curious? I think the point of Jesus' response to them and what he wants us to understand as well is that God can provide us peace and quiet and security even in the middle of our troubles. And it's not necessary for Jesus or for God to protect us from the storms. It's not necessary that he put a stop to every storm in our lives. We aren't promised an absence of trouble in our lives. What Jesus wants us to understand is that if you're in the boat with him, you don't need the calm to occur. You don't need the seas to stop raging, because he's going to carry you through the storm safely to the other side. And that's the promise that we have as God's children. That is the blessing of peace that he gives us. When he says, "My peace I give to you, let not your hearts be worried, neither let them be afraid." It's a peace that endures even in the middle of the trials, even in the middle of the troubles. To know that we are with him, to know that he is with us, and that no matter what happens around us and to us, he will deliver us through those troubles to eternal safety with God in our eternal refuge, in our eternal dwelling place. If that is a peace, if that is a quietness, if that is a security that you don't have in your heart, then you need Jesus. You need the assurance to know that you are accepted by him, that you are at peace with God through him, and that he is working in your lives through the comfort of his Spirit to sanctify you and to bring you home to our God in glory. If we can help to encourage you this morning, we pray that you would come forward and let us pray with you and help in any way we can for you to come to a greater trust in Jesus, who will deliver us through every storm. Let's sing.